Reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 24th, 2022. Happy New Week, Marianne.
Thank you, Mark. Happy New Week.
Here we are at the Great News Media Center here at Marketplace Mall. And it's this week, I think, that our new sign is going to be installed.
Oh, wow.
I posted a picture, actually two pictures last week that Ace Sign Company in Springfield, I said, hey, can you send me something that I can post? What's the progress? When do you think you'll have this installed? And they thought maybe it'll be this week. And so I posted a couple pictures and people are like, that's a huge looking sign. I said, it really is.
Yeah.
It'll cover, I guess, 60% of the whole front end of our building here, the front end here above our awning. So, yeah, I can't wait to get that up. And as you may know, we designated Saturday, March 26th as our grand opening, and we're working on food and prizes and a lot of fun. So hopefully that'll get installed this week. Maybe by the end of the week
it'll be
up. And
it'll be really good because I've seen a number of people walk by and stop and look and like, what is that place exactly? And they kind of come up and look at some of the signs you've got in the window and they go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But if that sign's going to like say it all.
I think so. I think we'll become a little busier because people say, oh, it is an establishment I can go in. And I haven't gotten into the practice of hanging up the open sign, but they see the studio right here, right near the window. So when we have special guests, people can walk by and say, I wonder what's going on. In fact, there's a guy walking by right now. And so, but we're going to get some shades up here. Both of us are determined. There's sometimes when I'm looking at the monitor and I can't see it because it's so bright coming in here. If we have guests in the afternoon or certain times of the day that the light is really vivid. In fact, right now we don't have the lights on in the place.
Well, no need.
And so there's enough light coming in.
It's like one of those suntanning places people go to. You know?
I was going to charge Marianne extra because it's like a little spa. You're getting a suntan while you're doing
that. No, Mark, it's not like a spa, but that's okay.
So, we thank God for this and praise him for the progress we've been making. And I hope in the next month to work with some of the businesses here in the mall to get some prizes and giveaways for our grand opening. And we just continue to see God using it in different ways. I had a couple, it was about 2 weeks ago, came in from Danville. And I recorded her. I'm going blank on her name, but her and her husband, I think they were celebrating their 41st, something like that, or maybe it's the 40th wedding anniversary, and they had a special restaurant. I think it was Bob Evans where they go
they
and
like
they had
go.
Breakfast. And then they wanted to come by and see the studio.
Nice.
And after talking for a while, I said, come do a radio announcement. And so I recorded
that sort of thing happens around you.
That's right. And she did great. So it was fine. And there, I think from Mexico originally, lived in Texas, and then came to the Danville area for a job, and he's getting ready to retire. He's 61. He'll be 62, I think, in April or May. And I said, hey, I'm 2 months older than you, because we had the same. I said, you were born in 1960? And he goes, yep. And I said, when? And I said, I'm March. And he said, he's like April or May. And so we then talked about retirement and when are you going to draw your Social Security? And he said, anyways, those that are in their 60s thinking about retirement, there's like a strategy. I think at 62 you can take it, but then at 65 you get the full. But if you wait to like 67 or 70, then you get this bonus amount each month. And so he said he had a whole strategy where he was going to take it early, but then get a part-time job, and he'll wait till 65 when he's eligible for Medicaid or Medicare. And anyways, I've been having these conversations.
Welcome to Financial Planning 101.
Yeah, that's right. No extra charge, everyone, for tuning in today.
I'm sure they would have paid a lot extra. But we do have people like Dean Hull of Thrivent and Daryl Kennedy of Edward Jones that know all the ins and outs of that.
Kind of gives you the recommendation. But, yeah, people, even my younger brother, here's a little plug for Stu Burns.
Hi, Stu.
Bankers.
I don't know what's going to be said, but hi.
He emails me every single day critiquing the program, and you never
That's
say enough
handy.
About Bankers. Or you don't.
Bankers.
What about a shout-out for the Marines?
Did you say
he was
Banker?
A Marine.
Bakers or Bankers?
Bankers. Oh. He's a banker.
Or Bakers. That's my favorite thing.
In fact,
but
he was saying, as he looks at it, sometimes if you take even the lesser amount early, you know, you're taking it a few years early, so you got to kind of look at that amount. And then if you felt like you're going to only live to, say, 73, there might be some advantages of taking it early, even though you're taking less. And so there's a whole strategy. So you should work with a financial advisor.
Good to know.
As they crunch the numbers, there's some people that prefer to take it early if they think they're not going to make it to 83 or 86 or 89 or whatever.
So, listener, if you weren't thinking about retirement before this moment, you are now.
Yeah.
Or financial planning
and,
or
and those
so
of
forth.
You that say, Mark, that's a terrible thing you're saying. Hey, I'm just speaking of things that I've heard.
It's anecdotal.
And, yeah, that's right. I'm learning. I'm very teachable. And
yeah, you are,
Holly
actually.
Says she needs another good 10 years out of me. You know.
Oh, okay.
Esther into college and beyond, so
I have a feeling you're not going to retire.
No, and I love what we get to do as a radio ministry and coordinating events, but providing the God-honoring programming mm-hmm. and the teaching and the music that's uplifting. And I said, Lord, you know, I'll do this as long as you call me to do it. If he calls me to shovel snow or...
I'd have some snow. I hate shovels.
Actually,
you are called.
Well, White
right
Hall,
now.
One of our stations was off the air. Howard had to go to it the other day and fix and bring a new device, a piece of equipment. And he said he's glad he brought his shovel. And I was thinking, certainly, Whitehall's not that far. I mean, I know it's near the western side of the state. But apparently, because I said, oh, yeah, I like going to the North Pole. But I think he really had to shovel some
oh, wow.
snow. And he referenced something like a weather front came through St. Louis area.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I guess Whitehall is far enough west. But I'm like, gosh, that's only an hour or so west of Springfield. And none of,
well,
you know, Springfield didn't have snow. We didn't have snow. And I'm like.
But see, we kind of go with Springfield. And I think like between Springfield and Champaign, there's this something happens. Because Bloomington and Normal, they all always have different weather than the Springfield-Champaign quadrant.
Well, I know. I was like, wow, could there really be snow at one of our tower locations, our transmitter site in Whitehall? And it appeared like it was. I didn't get back to him to say, hey, are you pulling my leg or were you really glad you brought a shovel because you had to, you know, shovel some snow or ice? And he said, yeah, to get his car into the tower.
But see, so. If you're somebody like Rob Seidenberg, he wrote an article in February's coming out paper all about how to prepare for winter, you would be carrying a shovel in your trunk.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I haven't had to shovel any yet this year.
Oh, no, not much at all.
It was just, yeah. Anyway.
But it is your calling, in case you
yeah.
want to know, because anybody can just call you and say, Mark, come on over, help me shovel snow.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, my wife.
I'm volunteering
my
you.
My wife, gosh, am I a fortunate or blessed man? She loves to shovel. She thinks it's so novel or unique or exercise. And there's been a few times, you
way
know,
to go.
Last year, she was out first thing. I said, hey, you're making me look bad. give me a little time. But let me wake up. I'll get
let
out
get
there.
Some...
Oh, no, I want a shovel.
Oh.
Don't take away that from me.
Oh, way to
so,
go, Holly.
Yeah, she's.
I like that.
Well, growing up in China and not having a lot of land, she loves raking and
yeah.
she loves working out in the yard because she never did that growing up. Didn't have a big
yeah.
yard or anything.
Yeah.
And I think shoveling is another. I remember the first time she didn't know how to rake. She had never held a rake,
uh-huh.
didn't have a yard. So I was like, here's how you do it. And I think it was the same with shoveling snow. And she just loves it. So, but I feel kind of embarrassed. My wife's out there and I'm still in bed. She's shoveling away.
Still got
so.
Your slippers on?
Yeah, that's right. So my neighbors think, what a lazy, you know,
yep.
I'm not lazy. I work really hard, but I...
feel like you need to add that right now.
Yeah, I got to make sure. Yeah, let me make that distinction. I'm a hard worker, but she loves to shovel snow, and so I guess I...
she may not after this
yeah,
program.
Yeah, that's right. She's like, oh, I just do it because you're lazy. No,
oh, no.
Anyway.
Oh,
so it's Monday
it
and
is.
Has been our practice for 1 week now.
Yeah.
This will be the second week. And I wasn't able to coordinate with Dave Early. He's the author of this book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. Hopefully maybe next week or in the next few weeks, we'll be able to schedule him in to talk about why he wrote this book. But it's one of my all-time favorites, certainly in my top 10, probably in my top 5 of the best reads. I've just enjoyed this. I read it a few years ago And then as I was just pulling things off the shelf, I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Let me look at this. And in about 3 weeks, I reread it. I'm a very slow reader, but I methodically look at every word and read and think about it. And I told Marianne some months ago, hey, I think this would be a really good one to read. Mm-hmm. We're also talking about reading that book on the great hymns
right,
and
we'll get
stories.
To that.
We'll follow that up when we finished with this. But last week we began with just a couple page reading out of the introduction. And so we're going to continue with a few more pages in the introduction. So to introduce today's reading, you're going to hear a song called Prayer Warriors by Heirloom. And this is, I don't know, this has been around for 20, 30 mm-hmm. years. It's a song that was very popular when Christian radio was starting to become more and more mainstream. So here's Prayer Warriors by Heirloom.
You may see her in the grocery with her children.
Reaching heaven with her heart.
That was Prayer Warriors by Heirloom.
Okay, so should I read from our book about prayer, Mark?
Yes, and you're on microphone number one. We upgraded Marianne. She used to be microphone number
because I made a scene.
Two or number three.
Not because I wanted to be number one, yeah. But because I couldn't make it work on the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, if you would have heard her every once in a while, there'd be like a clunk or a yep. something, or doodad got hit. And so I got demoted. I used to be microphone number one,
oh,
now number five.
It's not about being number one. It's about being where it... I got a different chair moved over. I moved the microphone over.
Yep, yep. So we're testing you out now with microphone number one.
Okay. Well, you were right about this book, Mark. I've been reading it, and it's really worth reading, folks. Hmm. Okay. We are in the introduction still, and we're in the section Prayer, the Common Denominator. Prayer is certainly not the only act of leadership, but it is the indisputable common denominator of spiritual difference makers in every generation and in any setting. I doubt that you can find a maximally effective spiritual leader in the Bible or in history who was not a person of prayer. This is the reality today as much as it was 2,000 years ago. Listen to the voices of renowned authorities in the realm of spiritual leadership. Henry Blackaby states, quote, "More than any other single thing that leaders do, it is their prayer life that will determine their effectiveness." Hmm. Peter Wagner said, "Great leaders pray." Charles Swindoll, 1934 to the present, best-selling author, megachurch pastor, and former president of Dallas Theological Seminary, writes, "Prayer is absolutely essential in the life of a leader." Hmm. Wesley Duell was the leader of OMS International, a large mission agency. Regarding the importance of prayer in the life of a leader, he writes, "As a leader, your usefulness is dependent upon your prayer, and the effectiveness of your ministry depends on your spiritual life." 19th century Christian leader Andrew Murray, 1828 to 1917, said that prayer in the life of the leader should be regarded, quote, "as the highest part of the work entrusted to us, the root and the strength of all the other work. There's nothing we need to study and practice as the art of praying all right."
Hmm.
J.C. Ryle, 1816 to 1900, another well-known 19th century Christian leader, wrote, "I have read the lives of many eminent Christians who have been on earth since Bible days, and some of them I see were rich and some poor. Some were learned, some unlearned, some were Calvinists, some were Arminians, but one thing I see they all had in common, they all had been men of prayer."
Hmm.
Ian Bounds, 1835 to 1913, who spent the last 17 years of his life locked away, given to studying, writing, and practicing prayer, wrote, "Great praying is the sign of God's great leaders." He also said, "Old Testament history is filled with accounts of praying saints." That's true. The leaders of Israel in those early days were noted for their praying habits. Prayer is the one thing which stands out prominently in their lives. They were essentially men of prayer.
Hmm.
A study of the truly great spiritual leaders reveals that their gifts, talents, personalities, backgrounds, education, and social status varied, but they all had one common denominator. They were people of prayer. I agree with J.O. Sanders, who concluded, "The eminence of great leaders in the Bible is attributable to the fact that they were great in their praying."
Hmm.
My goal in writing this book is simple. I hope to motivate Christian leaders to pray more fervently, more frequently, more effectively, and more contagiously than ever before. I want to stretch their prayer life. If you have a greater prayer life, you can have greater kingdom influence for God.
And we addressed this last week, but I want to point it out again, as you just read the sentence, "I hope to motivate Christian leaders we all are Christian leaders,
yes,
those of
are.
Us that follow Jesus.
Yes, we
are. Some are maybe more recognizable because of their position, maybe mm-hmm. in an mm-hmm. organization or in the church or whatever. But as we talked about it, and this book even recounted, we all influence others. We all have a leadership role,
yes,
whether
we do.
It's a mom over children, whether it's a dad with the neighbor kid, it's whether it's a person that is a CEO of an organization. We all influence people, so we are all leaders.
Yes, we are. His next section is titled, It Works. Since I was 16 years old and found myself leading a Bible study group of teens at our public high school, I've been aware of the link between prayer and impact. I was newly committed to God and entirely insufficient to make much of a difference in anyone's life, so I had no choice but to pray. The more I prayed, the more God worked. My group of two turned into several groups of more than 30. Soon, much of our high school was ablaze for God. As a discipleship pastor for a university, a church planter, and a church pastor, I've been reminded repeatedly that the effectiveness of my leadership life has flowed out of the strength of my prayer life. When I prayed well, impact increased. When I failed to pray, effectiveness diminished. I've provided leadership in a country church, on a college campus, at a suburban megachurch, and in settings as diverse as the streets of New York City, the marketplaces of England, and new church starts around the country. I've trained pastors and church leaders in almost all 50 states and in many foreign countries. Again and again, I've seen the same thing. All other factors being equal, prayer is the common denominator of effective spiritual leadership. Whether you're leading a small group or a university, prayer makes a difference.
Wow, it's so true, Marianne. And I'm thinking of all the people that have prayed for this radio ministry. I mean, we pray before every program. We pray before board meetings. We pray throughout some of the days because of the workload or the things that would have to be determined. But prayer has always been a strength of this radio ministry. But I also think the people that prayed up this radio ministry before it went on the air, the people that pray daily for our ministry and for our various needs, it's a team effort of prayer. It's just not the leaders, myself and our board and you and others. It's also the listener that prays for the ministry that I think God responds to.
Yeah, I agree. So this next section is called 9 Prayer Disciplines of High Impact Spiritual Leaders. My mother was a librarian, and I've always loved biographies. Over the past 30 years, I've worn out nearly a dozen Bibles, reading the stories of God's leaders from Noah up through the early church. I've also read several dozen biographies of spiritual leaders since Jesus, wearing out paperback versions of the stories of such giants as John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, Hudson Taylor, and D.L. Moody. In my pursuit of the factors that made them so successful, I've identified 9 prayer disciplines seen in the lives of those who have most effectively led others for God. Applying these 9 often overlooked prayer lessons will focus, stretch, rekindle, and renew your prayer life. They'll also make you a more effective spiritual leader. Only God can judge the true greatness of a leader. For this work, I tried to study many of the best-known names in the Bible and church history. Of those people chosen, all had a marked spiritual impact. They cover a variety of leadership posts, missions, pastorate, education, parachurch ministries. They span the theological spectrum of evangelicalism. The quotes and anecdotes came from leaders of whose prayer lives I could find good evidence and information. Some of the ones listed led extremely large works, while others led smaller ministries, yet all have made a marked spiritual difference. In this book, I use anecdotes, quotes, and examples from the lives of 77 spiritual leaders. Some of my information came from the lives of spiritual giants. I've also used some accounts of lesser-known leaders, including my own life. I'm in no way a giant. Far from it. I'm an ordinary person like you, with a desire to become a leader better able to make a greater impact for God.
This is the book titled Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, available at our Springfield studio location and here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. $10, so we got a discounted price. So hopefully we'll go through our first 40 or 50, and then we'll need to reorder more. But I highly recommend you picking up this book, reading it, and applying the many lessons, and read along with us on Mondays in the future days. It's a great book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Thank you, Marianne, for reading and joining me for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Each and every Monday, we'll be reading excerpts from this book for the coming days. We'll see how it all goes. And
well, there's some good chapters in here, I'll tell you that.
Yes, yes. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.